Today's title is called The Posturing of an Overcomer. You know, God wants us to overcome. And matter of fact, Jesus says that we are more than overcomers. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this past weekend, I got a call from a friend of mine. And my friend, now the type of relationship that I have with this particular friend is a need-based relationship. If I need something, I call him. If he needs something, he calls me. So it's all about, it's a needy relationship. It really is needy. He calls me up and says, listen, I'm working on this project, and I would appreciate it if you and your sons would come help me with this project. And I said, all right, how long is it going to take? Oh, a couple hours. So I said, hey, we can do that. We can give you a couple hours because I know in the near future I'm going to need something. And so we get to where the project's taking place, and we walk in, and we're thinking, somebody's texting me. Amber, I'm right here, baby. We get in the middle of the project, or we get there to do the project, and everything that was supposed to be done for us to do our part, it wasn't done. That was a part of the project. We didn't know. So we go in there, and you know, when everything is in chaos and everything is in clutter and everything is not like it's supposed to be, and you have a little bit of attention deficit disorder, it kicks in. And you're not able to think correctly. And on top of all that, there was no instructions. I'm an artsy guy. I don't need a lot of instruction, but you at least need the topics, you know. Put this here, and then you can kind of figure out how to turn it. You know, there was none of that. So we spent 2 hours running over the top of each other, just standing on top of each other. And one of my sons says, I tell you right now, if I had my keys, I would leave. And I said, I know my friend. And I know the way you think, that's why I drove. Because I know you. We got all the work done about 10 hours later. So the next thing I need from my friend is going to be really big. And lo and behold, he walks over in the floor, bends over and picks up this piece of paper. Oh man, here's the instructions. I need to go put these away. I wanted to kill him. I need to put these away before they get torn up. Well, dude, we don't need them anymore. We're done. But you know what? Life is like that too. Sometimes in our Christian walk, things are so complicated, it seems, and cluttered up, and we can't see. And then we're looking for the instructions, but we have the instructions right here. And not only do we have the instructions, we have a great teacher called the Holy Spirit, and he leads us and he guides us into everything that we're supposed to be. And today we're talking about the posture of an overcomer. That's what we're talking about. Overcoming is one who has success in dealing with a problem or a difficulty, to get control of something that's out of control, or to master something. You ever heard this? Sit up straight. Hold your shoulders back. Do not slouch. Keep your head up. You know why we were told that? Because good posture matters. It really does matter. Now, I didn't like it in the first grade when my first grade teacher says, don't slouch in the seat. So I got up on my knees and put my knees in my seat. She took care of that with that little paddle, pout. I quickly sat right back down and held my shoulders back and put my feet firmly on the floor. You know, good posture is the alignment of our body parts. Good posture reduces stress on our ligaments and our joints. And I tell you, at 50, I need that. It reduces wear and tear on our joints as we age. It allows our muscles to work more efficiently, allowing the body to use less energy. How many of you would like to do more with less energy? Therefore, preventing muscle fatigue. And good posture also prevents muscle overuse disorder, using the same muscle too many times. To maintain good prosper, or a proper prosper, you must have good muscle flexibility. The ability to change, the ability to bend without breaking. You know what that's called? Stretching. Stretching. Now, I don't know where Mike Brennan's at, but I know he's here. That boy can stretch. He can bend over and touch his toes without bending his knees. I've never been able to do that. He told me it's the yoga. It works for him. So he gave me a CD and said, I need you to start doing yoga. It's going to make you better. I'm not there yet. You know what? Stretching, it's not comfortable, but it is necessary. In every area of our life, if we can't stretch, we're going to break. Because, see, it's not just about us. It's about the body. It's about the head. It's about how we're connected together. So, our spine is made up of 33 bones, 33 vertebrae. And out in between these bones are nerves that run to different parts of our bodies, controlling our arms. And these nerves send life-giving instructions to our organs and to our limbs. But when one vertebra is out of place, when one vertebra is out of alignment, the body suffers. If you have a bone that slipped in your back, you may experience numbness. Like, I don't feel this part of my leg. I reached down there and scratched it, and it was like, whoa, something ain't right. I'm not right. I can't get right. And then you just kind of drag your foot along, you know. You might experience numbness. You might experience paralysis. But definitely pain. You may experience some fatigue and have a tingling sensation. Have you ever experienced any of that? You ever had a sciatica problem? Yeah. It's like, oh, don't know that I can make it. But sitting on the top of our spine is our head, brain. Yeah, that's right. That's the control center of our body. Thoughts, ideas, and plans originate in the head and through the nervous system that travel down throughout the body. A healthy posture needed for us to be overcomer will always give us correct alignment, the body to the head. If we have correct posture, our body's going to be in alignment with the head. It's going to be. Colossians 1:18 says, Christ is also the head of the body, which is the church. Christ is the head. We are the body. I'm taking this one, Bubba. All right, that's better. So, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. So Christ is the head. We are the body. And today we're talking about lining up, making an alignment. It is important that we have correct posture to be an overcomer. So the first alignment that I want to talk about, if we was at a chiropractor, he would gently put pressure upon our bone that was out of place and push, and it would click into place. So the first place that we're going to have a little bit of alignment this morning is this. To be an overcomer, we all have an example to follow, and that example is this. Jesus overcame the world. We need to get that. John 16:33 says this. In this world you will have trouble. How many of you have had trouble? How many of you enjoyed it? Not a one. The trouble are the things that we have to overcome. But he says this. Be of good cheer. One translation says, take heart. because I have overcome the world. Now, when you're going through something, it's hard to be of good cheer. It's difficult, but Christ declared that our correct position of faith is to be of good cheer. No matter what you're going through, be of good cheer. Cheer means to shout for joy. Be encouraged. That word, take heart, it means to be courageous, to regain courage. Take heart because help is here. Take heart. It may be tough, but God has given you the heart of a fighter, not the heart of a quitter. He's put inside us a heart that wants to overcome and wants to conquer because of his power that he's put in us. In 1 Samuel 30, you can read the story of David. David came home one day with all of his guys. He found his house burnt to the ground. He found his wives and his children taken capture. He found all of his possessions looted and stolen. And all the men with him found their families in the same disarray. It was a mess. And he responded in this way. He wept out loud bitterly. He cried. And he cried so much that he had no more strength left to cry. And it just said he was bitter of spirit. Have you ever been there? I mean, he lost his home. We have a friend who just lost their home in a fire. It goes even further. He lost his family. Somebody took them. Everything he had was stolen. He didn't have a flat screen TV. Everything he had was stolen. His goats. Everything that was of his wealth was taken. And there he sat crying. And not only that, his best friends, those close comrades that he had gone to battle with and that had surrounded him, that they had done life together, turned on him. Because they were so hurt that they literally said, we're going to stone him. If this is what we're going to get for following me, we're going to kill him. I mean, that's a tough spot to be in. It says, but then he dug real deep, and he took heart. In the midst of that mess, in 1 Samuel 35, it says, David found strength in the Lord. And when no one else would encourage him and try to lift him up, he encouraged himself. He regained his courage to fight and go conquer and take back what the devil had stolen from him. That same fire that burned in David is in each one of us. To be an overcomer, if you're going through it, dig deep. Dig deep. Take heart. Because David not only found his enemies, he defeated his enemies, he took back his family, he took back his possessions, and he took back the possessions that the enemy had. He left out with more than it was ever taken from him. So, take heart. We have an example to follow. Jesus overcame the world. You gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down. Sometimes you just gotta go with it. Yeah. Point number two, keep your head up. Thank you, Andy Grammer. We appreciate it. When you're driving down the road and you're listening to your radio and you hear him come on, keep your head up, that's alignment number two. Keep your head up. When my grandboys get in trouble on the farm, you know they're in trouble. They don't even have to tell you because they got their head hung low. Come feel, Papaw, it ain't good. You know, usually when someone has their head hung so low, it's a sign that something's not right. Something's not right. They're either toting shame or they're discouraged Or maybe they're embarrassed. And we don't have to be. We're believers. We have Christ. In Hebrews 12:2, it says this, Jesus endured the cross, scorning the shame. We who believe in Jesus, he took away our shame. So you know what that means? I don't have the right to tote that shame. I don't have the right to tote that heaviness because he took it upon himself when he died on the cross. He took that embarrassment. You know, it wasn't just a killing when Jesus went to the cross. It was embarrassing, stripped naked, put up where everybody could see, such shame. And he bore that shame so we don't have to bear it. When you're holding your head down in condemnation as a believer, man, you're walking on the power of the blood. Don't do that. Because Jesus said this, I did not come to condemn the world, but I came to save the world. He came and took the condemnation, and he crushed it so that we don't have to walk around feeling condemned. If somebody tries to put that off on you, condemn you, man, God cut ties with that. You need to find somebody who's going to encourage you, who's going to lift you up, who's going to speak life to you, who's going to help you hold your head up when you're too weak to hold it up. Believing in Jesus, our shame is gone. We are no longer condemned. We are loved beyond any imaginable love that we've ever experienced. So hold your head up. Everybody pick your head up. You know what? It makes you feel a little bit better. You got something to be proud of. And you know what? Every one of us in here do have something to be proud of. We have a relationship with the living God who empowers us to do what he's called us to do every single day of our life. So hold your head up. Alignment number three, as we come around third base. Somebody said, you know, you're a competition preacher. See how fast you can get it done. It's like, how many hot dogs can you eat in 30 seconds, you know? How much can you put in there, you know? But alignment number three, to be an overcomer, pay attention. But the word is focus. When we was working on that project, we were not focused. We couldn't hardly pay attention. It was too much. It was just too much. There was no order in it, but focus. There was a cowboy one time. He was going out, and he had lost some cows, and he was on his horse, and they were traveling out through the prairie, and he came upon a creek that had swollen because of all of the rain, kind of like Lynch's River is right now, or the PD, or the creek behind our house, or my yard, or your yard. I mean, we're just sitting in a bunch of water right now, and I got good news, more's coming tomorrow. But this cowboy, he was out there, and he noticed that the creek had swollen, and he had to forge the creek to get to the other bank, right? And he was afraid. He'd crossed here a bunch of times on the same horse, but he was afraid. One of the older cowboys behind him said, listen, take that piece of straw, put it in your mouth, and you just start chewing on it. You look at where you want to be on that other bank, and you trust your horse to get you there. Because the horse knows how to do it. And he crossed the bank. You know what? We have to have focus in life because there is a lot going on around us. More today and in the history. I mean, we are inundated with information constantly coming in. You know, I have to cut my phone off at night because it just dings, 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 ding, 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 dings. You know, you have to cut it off sometimes. Have to cut the TV off sometimes. You don't pick up the paper sometimes. There's just a lot of information going on around us. Proverbs 4:25 says this, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Now, I've never claimed to be a really good driver. And if you've ever ridden with me, you know that is the truth. I do keep it out of the ditches. Some Amber says sometimes. But those little knots on the side of the road, you know, that brrrr, I find myself riding on them more than not. kind of wakes me back up, and I pull back in the lane and keep going. But I've been told by Lori so many times, don't drive down the road looking in your rearview mirror. Well, something's going on back there. You know, you can't help it. It's right there. It's right there in front of my face. And if I just look, I'll know what that guy's doing behind me. You don't never know when you're going to get hit from the rear end. But that's not the object. If I keep looking in the rearview mirror, I'm definitely going to hit the guy in front of me in the rear end. And I don't want to be in that place. So keep your focus. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things of this earth. You know, I said a while ago, Jesus saw the joy that was beyond the cross. He was focused in what he had to endure. When you endure something, that's not fun. An endurance is not fun. An endurance race, that means you're being pushed to your limits. It's tough. But you know how nice it is to win the medal that's at the end of the race. Philippians 4:8, we all know this. It says, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Get focused. A focused person is an overcoming person. Pay attention to the God things in your life. The enemy is very sneaky and very good at his job pulling us down. He's very good at making you feel condemned in me. He's very good at dumping shame on you. He's very good at whispering things in your ear that's not true. When you sense that, change your focus to those things of God, and you notice your head rising. You can't help it. It's just a thing that happens. All right, alignment number 4, a can-do attitude. Everybody say, I can do it. Now say it like you mean it. I can do it. All right. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know what? It's hard not to be an overcomer whenever you know that God is with you. And he says, I will help you. I will uphold you. I will strengthen you. That's a promise that we have, a can-do attitude, because I can do it. I can do it. You can do it, whatever you're facing. It may be difficult and it may be hard, but I've watched some of you walk through some of the hardest things that I have ever imagined and come out on the other side shining because your attitude was right, your focus was right, and Jesus never left your side. You say, I don't even know how I walked through that. A lot of times I think you were just toted through it, and so was I. Jesus just picked us up and toted us right through it. All right, alignment number 5, and the last one. It's called a more than promise. We have a promise that's more than. Let me explain it. Romans 8:37 says this, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than is a continuous, abiding victory, both now and in the future. Whenever I was studying this, I was trying to figure out, God, what's more than a conqueror? You know, what is more than? I mean, think about it. What's more than? And I had these 3 categories that I kind of thought through about being enough. You know, you may have a need that you need to meet, and you say, I have barely enough to meet the need. Was the need met? Yes. Barely. Barely. Because it was barely enough. Almost sounds like there wasn't enough left to meet the next need. So you're going to have to get back in faith, stretch yourself again, press. Whoo, we got barely enough to meet that need. And then there's enough. Oh, I have enough. I have enough to do it. I have enough to take care of it. But then there's a promise of more than enough, meaning that whenever that need has been met, I have more for the next one, and more for the next one, and more for the next one. Can I tell you this year and into the next 10 years that barely enough is not enough? Barely enough is not good enough, because God wants us to have more than enough. Now, don't feel bad about it. If you say, I got barely enough, just expect that you are about to have enough. And whenever you get to that point, you can expect that you're going to have more than enough, because it's coming. So, if you're battling an enemy or you're battling something going on in your life and you're fighting through it, you can say, I barely conquered that. Meaning, I conquered it, but man, I am limping out. I've got bruises. I've been beaten ragged, but praise you, Jesus, I made it through it. I'm dragging my legs, but I made it through it. You know what? That's the lowest part of conquering I think there is, because right past barely conquering, you got conquering. I walked in, done what was necessary, we conquered, we left. But Jesus said, you are more than a conqueror. That means you have enough in you to conquer anything that ever comes your way. You will never be lack in that area of trying to conquer something in your life. So every time the devil throws something up in your face or puts something on you, you can have within yourself the strength to conquer it and be more than a conqueror. I'm looking at a bunch of conquerors. A lot of conquerors. I want to leave us with this. Hey, Beth, did you get that typed in? I'll tell you in a second. I was watching a show. Somebody had told me, hey, man, you got to check this show out. It was pretty rough, to say the least. I'm not going to tell you what it was because I don't think you ought to watch it. It's about too much for me. You know, it's like, holy fuck. But you know, God will speak to you no matter what if you're listening. In the show, there was a kid who was abused by a man that his mother brought home. This little kid was, oh, precious, but pretty much defeated. He spent more time on the stoop than he did his house. And his neighbor, who he was a good guy and he was a bad guy, but he loved that little boy. And that little boy had an interest in books, and his neighbor worked at a bookstore. And in this bookstore, they had some of the oldest books that had been in print, and they had them in a special vault. And that little boy needed some encouragement. So the neighbor said, listen, I want to go show you something. And he took him in there and he showed him all of these old books. That little boy loved it. And on the shelf, he took one of the books off. I think it was like the original Wizard of Oz, the first one. And he gave it to the little boy and he says, here, I want you to read it. And the little boy says, oh, I can't take that book. That is an expensive book. And the guy says, hey, I trust you with it. Take it. It'll be okay. I trust you. So the little boy, all happy, he goes home and he goes into his apartment and he's reading his book, and his drunk stepdad comes in and starts wailing and really putting the little boy down, and he takes the book and rips it. Now, the little boy was carrying that because he was trusted to take care of that book. So the next day, he's standing on the sidewalk and he's crying. And the neighbor says, son, what's wrong? He said, he pulls the book out and he calls his stepdad's name and said, he tore the book and I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I didn't take care of it like I told you I would. And the guy says, oh, come on. come on, follow me. They go back down into the little room where the books were at. And the guy takes the binder off the book and he just rips it. And the little boy goes, oh my. Oh my. And I wrote this down. Because the man told the little boy, he said, the first thing in fixing something is to know, no matter how broken or how destroyed you think something may be, it can always be saved. And that man, he got the material and he put those pages together and he started painting them with the glue. And then he took this paper stuff and he put over it. And then he began to weave this other material on top of it. And he had it in a vise, right? And he took out a mallet. And he told that little boy, he said, it's so important to know exactly where you need to apply the most pressure to make something hold together. And he began to tap on that book. And he began to hit it. And before he was finished, he had a brand new looking book that he gave back to the little boy. And the little boy said, I can't take that book because he's going to tear it up again. And he told him where to hide the book so that that would not happen. You know what? The devil is so good at trying to make us feel defeated. He's so good at trying to tear us apart. And I don't like to give him credit, but the reality of it is there's a lot of broken people in the world, and God did not break them. There's a lot of people who feel defeated and destroyed. But the first thing in fixing something, that no matter how defeated, destroyed, or broken you may feel, God says you're worth saving. And he knows exactly where to put the pressure for us to hold things together. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for it. If you would, just stand with me.